Welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave, the final Wolfcast edition for the Game of Thrones reviews, for this year at least. My name is Clint Eccles-Shivers from the podcast Face and Fire forums.
Hi, it's Shadow Baby on the forums, awake and alert in real life.
Hi, it's Dr. Blood on the forums.
Hey everyone, this is Kevin, also known as Gaten on the forums.
So yeah, it was quite a... It packed a punch this episode, you know, ending, but was anyone expecting the ending?
I think Hannah got the closest to calling it, didn't she? It was a little more spectacular, but that was pretty intense.
I mean, it was stupider than what I said, but I thought that he would, like, shriek at it and it would crack.
Oh, yeah.
And then it would crack. I felt and like mine was more suspenseful and realistic, but whatever.
My one problem with the ending is the fact that it happened then, and then it feels like it would take no time at all to get to Winterfell, but they'll probably delay things and it'll be they'll do something where it won't even be addressed until like midway through the season when you see the White Walkers again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised that we saw them again this season. Like, I thought his having the dragon would be left for us to kind of stew over until next time. But yeah, I was surprised that it was so definitive.
Yeah, like, I was actually spoiled maybe early last year or before production started. Someone told me that Viserion would die and the wall would fall.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
But it was so ridiculous, I just didn't believe it. So I was like, oh, it's not going to happen. That's why I just never talked about it. But then it did.
Oh, no. Was it an actual leak or was it just someone guessing very well?
No, like a friend, like it was a leak. And he came up to me. He was like, yeah, this thing happens.
That's mean.
But it kind of didn't ruin my enjoyment of the series because like I just ignored it until it happened. And I was like, oh, he was right. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is stupid.
Yeah, it seemed too easy. Like, the payoff was too fast, I think, in this instance.
It felt weird, like, because it was flame, but then it was blue flame. Or was it ice that he was breathing? And it's like ice on ice.
Yeah, I didn't understand why blue... I mean, unless it's... how blue is like ultra hot, right?
Well, but magic, that seems magic fire.
yeah that did seem really weird, so I was like, you're freezing it more.
I have been reading stuff that says that it's actually blue fire and not ice, because I was confused too when I watched the episode, so I think that's what they were going for. But that doesn't really make sense either, because shouldn't fire like kill him from the inside out?
I would think so, yeah.
Mystery. Why doesn't they make much sense?
Nope.
The dragon also has a bunch of holes in its wings, so it shouldn't be able to fly either.
I think they were going for like the rotted, undead dragon look, but like he's only been dead for like 5-10 minutes.
I saw other people who were concerned about that, and I feel like even though the damage wasn't really visible as he kind of slipped into the pond, I think the explosion that happened when he was actually hit with the javelin or whatever it was could account for some of that. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have a huge problem with that, just because he had to have taken, like he hit the ground and skidded and stuff after that, and he had to have taken some kind of major damage. But yeah, the aerodynamics of it is not something that I understand at all.
No, I thought it was like a stylistic choice to make him look like an undead creature, but okay. That makes sense.
I like to think that the others know they're being watched, so just doing very cool but completely impractical stuff.
like poking holes in
the formations of the symbols. Yeah.
Did you guys see the thing that... people were arguing when they cross the wall, they're in the shape of a direwolf.
No, I haven't.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, it's like an aerial shot that, like, I don't know. It's a little bit Rorschach-y for me, I think. But, like, people were arguing that it was... I'll see if I can find it. But
But then again, people thought that John's sword opened its eyes at the end of that episode. They see stuff everywhere.
I love the director's response to that. He was like, oh, yeah, really? I have to go back and watch that. And I'm like, well, that's not a good confirmation of that theory. The director didn't know it was in there. It's probably not what he was going for.
Isaac Hempstead Wright did debunk the theory that Bran's the Night King. Mm. But then, I don't know, I feel like that ending gives more evidence to it. Because you see Bran and then you see... And you see it through his eyes, and it looks like he's warging as well at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Either if that's the dragon or into the Night King or becoming the Night King.
Okay, can you explain the theory to me? Because I heard one where Bran is, he time travels to the guy who becomes the Night King and he gets stuck back there. But you're saying he is the Night King now?
Well... I suppose the theory is the time travel part of it, but mine is more that he can become the Night King right now.
Yeah, because I didn't get the time travel. Like, I mean, I heard that's the one I heard too, Kevin, and I didn't understand it. But yeah, I mean, if he's warging him right now.
Or warging the dragon.
Maybe the Night King is warging Bran. Doesn't make any sense.
I do wonder though if they're going to take some time to go castle by castle and just annihilate the Night's Watch.
Just walk along the wall.
Or just take the dragon on his like speed run, just burn everything down. Because he was super fast.
And then we'll just have Dolores undead.
He won't be happy about it.
I think that Tormund and Beric most likely survived.
Oh yeah, they got that fan favorite plot armor.
Yeah. And they were going to the west, but I think it would be better if they just killed them.
I wonder if Gendry survived.
That's a good question, because we didn't see him in either place, did we?
No.
Back on his boat.
Sure, he just
yeah, that's really weird. Because I thought it was weird that Beric stayed at the wall instead of going with either his undead buddy, John, or with the Hound. Especially because now he doesn't have Thoros. So it seems like he would... I guess that was weird.
You didn't think the whole fucking thing was weird?
I really enjoyed it. Like,
not negative, Hannah.
I know. I had.
Then
like,
I gotta go. Glad. See you guys next year.
I had like shocked viewer face for like most of the second half of the episode. I think starting probably in Winterfell, I was just like, oh damn! Like just watching because I was watching it by myself, which I don't usually do, and so I was looking around like, who's seeing this? Like. So I definitely got really into it, but it was, yeah, like, there are definitely questions that I have sort of lingering about some of the stuff, but I thought there was a lot to enjoy.
I did find it disappointing, to be fair. Like, I thought it was the most disappointing season finale that they've done so far.
Yes.
Just felt very anticlimactic. Nothing really happened except for the end of it, but... To get to that point, it was just like a lot of like the scenes with Cersei and her pretending to care about the cause and then revoke that. Didn't like that part of it.
I like the characterizations in those scenes a lot. Like I really enjoyed the kind of character interactions, but I didn't... Yeah, that's another place that I had a lot of questions as soon as I really kind of stopped and thought about it. Like, if she didn't, because she didn't know that they were bringing the white. So, like, how could she have planned, like, Euron especially, like, how could she have planned or in what capacity could she have planned his kind of abandoning the cause, and then, or did she not expect him to abandon it and then like talk to him when she left after John said that he wouldn't extend the truce, and she called it quits, and then she went and like negotiated with Euron, or was that in place all along? I don't know. Like, there was a lot of stuff that was contingent on knowledge that some of the characters like wouldn't have had in setting up the plan.
Well, that very well may have been her bullshitting too.
To Jaime?
To everyone about Euron. I mean,
Like,
oh yeah, you think he really left? Well, he didn't. Like, I'm sure that's not how the writing's going to be, but it very well could have been. Like, I could see her spinning something like that.
But she just tells Jaime about the Golden Company, right?
Yeah.
Does she tell Jaime or Tyrion?
It's Jaime.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because he's mad that she was negotiating like without him or behind his back or whatever.
She calls him the stupidest Lannister, which was so funny.
That's such a burn. Sad.
She is so abusive. I like how at least that's a little more like the book. She's so fucking abusive.
I had a moment where I really truly believed that the mountain was just going to kill him. Like, I genuinely
believed that. I thought he was going to turn around and be like, ugh, sword in the belly.
Right? Yeah. Like, she nodded to him and his sword came out. Jaime was like,
that she already said the word.
Yeah.
Like, what was he waiting for? Another word?
Yeah.
What are the words? Like,
I don't know. Maybe they have like a no for real kill them kind of a safe word, right? Where like if she says, you know,
empire, like swipe of the hat, ring the ear.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like
down the chest. Like,
actually, kill anyone that. Unless I say Sasquatch, you know.
And it would have been a big shock because she said not to kill Tyrion before, mm-hmm. and then for her to kill the brother that she loves, that would have been, well, huge.
Yeah, that would have been a really kind of like gut-wrenching moment, I think. But
yeah, but at the same time, the brother that she like really hates was an envoy, you know. I mean, she's like insane, but I've never thought of Cersei as stupid.
That's more,
like, more trouble than killing off someone who's supposed to be in your camp who's being disobedient.
Plus, I mean, if she really is pregnant, which I think we're supposed to understand that she is, like, I mean, she would kind of be putting all her eggs in one basket, but she arguably like wouldn't need him anymore. Do you know what I mean? Because she's about to have another kid, you know. So like, he's done his part to restart the, you know, next generation or whatever. But like, what does she really need him for? Because he's...
Am I imagining it, or when he rode off toward the north, which apparently only takes about 10-15 minutes to get to, did he like look at his golden hand and then like put a glove on?
Yeah.
But am I the only one that thought he was going to throw it away? Like, I don't need this fucking gold.
I did too, yeah, because he originally got it because Cersei was like weird about the stump, right? Or was that... Like, I thought that was... It was mostly for her.
Tywin, too, probably, though, right?
Yeah. But I did think he was going to just put the glove on over his stump or whatever, but...
Like, on the one hand, I'm glad he didn't, because that would be kind of stupid. On the other hand, it's useless. Like, fit that shit for a sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you have a sword hand?
That would be awesome.
I know, right? Like if you're going to have
stabby a stabby dagger hand.
Yeah, just one big sword.
Mm-hmm.
Like a T-1000.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. That's my boy, Kevin.
Mm.
No, but for real. I never understood that.
Yeah.
Even in the book, I'm like, people be having wheelchairs back then. You can't figure out sword hand.
Yeah, like make it as clunky and completely non-functional as possible. Perfect. Nailed it. Yeah.
I can't. In the book, like, it should be like, you know, walking down the hall with Ilyn Payne. He's going to be like, oh, in his little clickety-clack language, you got your hand in my sword. And James would be like, you got your sword in my golden hand. Sword hand.
Genius. Yeah. I mean, they have pirates. Like, they must have hook hands, right? Like, that seems
well, yeah,
like
they a have that because they have peg legs in the Iron Islands and shit, right?
I think you'd have to, wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean,
they're losing limbs all over the place with that finger dance.
Right, exactly. You lose a finger, you just have like a tiny sword. like a thimble with a sword on it.
That'd be cool.
It would be really cool. Yeah. Like another shrimp? Don't mind if I do.
You double dipped your sword finger. Okay, well, we should get back on track.
Yeah.
This is what happens when I wake up to
how were we feeling about Sansa and Arya's revelation?
Mm. Oh my god.
I unapologetically enjoyed that scene. Like, I enjoyed everything about it. I was, first of all, not just a little bit basking in the fact that I was totally right, which is always nice. But I was hoping that that was what was going to happen as soon as I saw Arya had the dagger back on her belt. Like, she walked in and she was wearing the Valyrian steel dagger. And I was like, oh, they made a deal. This is going to be so awesome. And then it paid off. And I think if it hadn't paid off, I probably would have thrown something through the TV. But like, if it had literally just been Arya on trial.
You did call it, and I'm glad you were right, but I didn't realize, when we were talking the week before,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how infuriated I would be that literally we spent a whole fucking season just to get to that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit pisses me off. I cannot explain to you how much I fucking hate that. Like,
if that had been
the only scene we got of them this year, or just one episode's worth of that nonsense, mm-hmm. fine. But Jesus, waste these two girls' storylines for nothing.
I think if every scene between them had taken place out in the open, it would be a brilliant long
Yeah, run. That would have made more sense.
Do you know what I mean? Or even if like the chamber door had been open or something, like if there was some chance that, or if there had been a chambermaid in there, or like if there was some chance that all of it could have gotten back to Littlefinger, you could look back through it and be like, oh shit, they were setting him up the whole time. But the fact that
that they were in the bedroom together.
Yeah, it was like that. It's such a minor change. Like, it's literally a question of blocking, basically. And it could have been such a huge twist that makes you like rethink all of those conversations all throughout the, you know, but
you know what it was? D&D forgot what show they were working on, and they're like, he's just popping out of the flu network in the fireplace over here.
I just wish that he was like brought to justice for what he did to Ned, and not so much that he was trying to pit the Stark sisters against each other.
Exactly, too, right?
That would have been more satisfying, because I feel like that at the beginning of the season, like, they all have evidence, like Bran, Sansa, and Arya. They each know something that, like, they can convict him of.
And ultimately what he did to Kat, too. I mean,
exactly.
Does Kat go down there without that fucking dagger? Does any of that ever happen?
No, she doesn't take Tyrion, which means
that son of a bitch, not only what he did to Ned and Kat, talk about crimes against humanity. I mean, he really instigated a massive war with horrendous amounts of casualties among the small folk.
And I think Sansa brings that up. She like lists everything he did and all the consequences of it. I'm just wondering, why did it take this for you to like put it all together? Like, you should have had his head episode two.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we spent the season trying to like figure out that Littlefinger was not trustworthy, but we spent 6 years learning that. So
right, well, especially because at the beginning of the season, Sansa was cutting him down so expertly. Mm-hmm. And then they seem to sort of forget for a little while that, like, she was totally onto his bullshit. Like, as soon as the whole Ramsay thing was done, like, she knew exactly who and what he was. And, I mean, I think that the Knights of the Vale was, I don't even want to say reasonable, but, I mean, there was, like, a justification that was offered for why she needed him. But I feel like I had completely forgotten about the whole Lysa Arryn thing until they brought it up. But, like, yeah, she was there. She literally witnessed him murder her. And, like, Royce seemed perfectly convinced of that because he also hates Littlefinger. So, like, why is he going to question Sansa saying, like, he made me lie, but here's what really happened. Will you guys still support me if I convict him of the truth or whatever, you know, and which he seemed perfectly willing to do when Littlefinger, I love that line though, where he's like, take me back to the Vale safely. And he's like, I think not.
Yeah. I also don't like the way, first of all, it was too quick on the one hand for someone who's such a criminal.
But on the like other his hand, actual death, you think was too.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you sit at your father's head of your father's table in your father's hall and you don't read him his sentence like your father taught you and swing the sword yourself. Like, to me, that just seemed wrong.
They hung a lantern on that too, didn't they? Because I think in the conversation that they were having on the wall, they said something about you passed the sentence and I was the executioner. Like, I think Arya said, really spelled it out that way, which I thought was very interesting in terms of being like a departure from Ned's philosophy, unless you think of them as a pack, like that they're essentially Stark as entity at this point.
Yeah, okay, I guess maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what happened to Ramsay? That's totally different, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, that punishment fit the crime.
Mm-hmm.
But this, they did in public. They handed down a sentence in front of their vassal lords. And I just, something about it wasn't right.
Well, you wanted Sansa to execute him?
No, I just, I don't know. I wanted some sort of, I don't know, more formality in it. And I kind of wanted them to hang him out and let him twist for longer too. You know what I mean? It's like he would have cried like a little bitch no matter what, because he's a little bitch. But
you
didn't actually punish him at all.
Do you think he was faking at the end when he was crying, or do you think that he was really?
No, that's his true face. He's very
you think so?
Yeah and cowardly and craven.
Yeah I thought that was a very interesting choice to make it so, so pathetic. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, oh, this is all that's left. Or like, this is the, of all your games, like, this is the best one that you can think to. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a very interesting choice.
So what has Bran been doing this whole time?
Watching people have sex through history.
Because he's just like, oh yeah, you held a knife to my dad's throat one time. Meh.
Yeah. Like, by the by, maybe you should have mentioned that.
Long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's still the excuse that he's sorting through that kind of massive info dump, right? So, like, maybe it took him that long to scroll past people that he recognized.
It was buffering,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? But, like, he had a lot of shit on his feed and he was like, oh man, that's my dad. Oh man, that's Littlefinger. Hey, you guys, you know, but like.
Although, whereas I did think that he would be going to Hornhill, I was surprised that he went to Winterfell instead. Sam, I mean.
Oh, Sam. Mm-hmm. Well, I think he was looking for John, wasn't he? For reasons unknown at this point.
Yeah, but didn't he know that John was at Dragonstone? He heard that shit, right? So what, did he go to Dragonstone and be like, anybody home? No? Okay. I'll go to Winterfell. Bye.
I do really, I am really enjoying the consistent reaction of people when Bran's like, I'm the three-eyed raven. And they're like, that's terrific, honey. What? what is that?
It's just a phase.
Yeah.
So is this official confirmation that R plus L equals J on the show, or did we know that last year?
I mean, people argued that it was confirmed last year with the cut from the baby to John, like that edit, but
yeah, where they superimposed Kit Harington's eyes on a poor helpless infant.
Yes.
But
there was nothing to break it.
This year was just confirming that it wasn't rape. It was actually a beautiful love affair that ended up in a legitimate marriage.
In a legitimate marriage, right? Yeah, exactly.
We needed a whole season to get there. The fans couldn't wrap their heads around it.
Which Bran didn't know.
And Jon Snow's Aegon.
No. Why would you annul a marriage with two legitimate children?
And then name your...
Remarry and then rename. Yeah. Like... The first one was just a practice. Like, I was my mulligan Aegon, and I'm gonna, you know, like, I don't know. It's such a weird thing. And, like, I don't know. Again, that was another point where, like, they could have totally blown my mind and they didn't. But I was desperately waiting for them to say that Daenerys was his twin. Like, that was the twist. That was, like, they were leaning so heavily and kind of trollishly on John being, you're like, oh, I figured it out. John's the big, you know, you're like, oh, and there was another baby. It was Daenerys. Snap, right? Which, like, I don't know, the way Westerosi genetics works, I feel like would be perfectly reasonable. Like, she looks exactly like her father, and, you know, he looks exactly like his mother, and I don't know. Plus, then you have an echo of the whole Lannister thing. I don't know. It would have been really cool, but it didn't happen, so that's fine.
Danny and John Skywalker.
Exactly. Right?
Okay, but here's the thing. I was also infuriated that they did that reveal over them having sex, as if to say,
so gross.
Look at how disgusting this is, everyone. And it's like, okay, well, I'm sure royals around the world are kind of like, fuck you. You
know? I mean, was it supposed to be grotesque? Because I don't know how else that juxtaposition could have been intended.
That's what I'm saying. I did not care. What the fuck?
Like, I mean, are you supposed to be watching it going like, oh, yuck? Like,
apparently.
I didn't think that they staged it that way. Like, I don't know. Like, it was.
No, I think they say
it, and it was supposed to be very like
after show where they explain to you all the points of the show you're too stupid to get.
Sure.
That. You know, it's supposed to be because they're going to have conflict with that next year.
Why?
And once again, we have enough fucking conflicts, I think, right?
Well, yeah, but like, why? Like, what is it about Jon or Daenerys that would make that a conflict? Like, they're already 90% of the way to just being together. So they're, you know, Jaehaerys and Alysanne instead of Maegar the Cruel. Like, you know, why can't they just be joint Targaryens and rebuild the dynasty together? And
they don't even have to be Targaryens for that relationship to not be, I think, that incestuous. Like, when it comes to royal families, especially back then, even non-royal families would marry a niece and an uncle and things, mm-hmm. to keep monies in the family. That's not that uncommon. And even in our past century, we had world leaders that had even closer blood relationships than that. I mean, the Roosevelts were first cousins.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not that uncommon, and it's not. I'm not endorsing incest in any way. I want to put that out there right now,
like Bach disclaimer.
but really, I mean, back then it wasn't that. Oh my God! Call the church mm-hmm. elders. Oh, it's,
yeah.
Just grow up. I mean, everyone needs to grow up.
Well, especially because, like, in The Princess and the Queen, aren't they uncle and niece?
Yep.
Yeah.
Was it Aemon or Aemond? and Rhaenyra. Yeah, they were niece and uncle.
Yeah, and that, like, that didn't strike me as, I mean, I'm obviously wildly desensitized to Targaryen shenanigans at this point, but, like, I was like, oh, well, yeah, right. You know, I mean, it just, it didn't seem, as you're saying, Hannah, it didn't seem quite that. So, like, it was, tonally, it was very confusing in a way very similar to, like, when Theon got kicked in the balls, where I'm like, am I supposed to be laughing right now? Like, am I supposed to be proud of him? Like,
a little bit
in the smooth area? Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, my sister was suddenly glad he got his dick chopped off. Is that...
I thought it was kind of touching because it was the first time that his like abjection was visibly a point in his favor. Like, it was the first time
we've handicap.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where we've seen him be like, oh, like, maybe, I mean, not maybe this wasn't so bad, or maybe I'm glad this happened, obviously, but at least, you know, maybe there is a way to kind of turn this around and own it in a way that I think we had hoped that Sansa would do with what she went through with Ramsay and everything else, that, you know, like, that turning a weakness or turning a vulnerability into a strength.
The only person not at the King's Moot? Because I thought Euron told everybody that Theon doesn't have a man piece.
Maybe he just checked out for a second. Like, he was thinking about, you know, dinner. Yeah. He's like, wait, who doesn't have what are you gonna do? I don't know. I've never been kicked in the balls, but I feel like it would hurt anyway.
You, like, feel it in your soul when it happens.
Have you ever been in your crotch, Sarah?
I am delighted to say that I have not, but I have
on a bicycle or a fence post. That shit hurts.
Yeah, like, horseback riding is my, like, where the horse goes one way and you go the other and then gravity takes over. Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
Not having a sensitive appendage there doesn't mean that you, like, also aren't a human being.
Right. Like, if I got kicked that hard in the shin, I would probably be pretty upset. I wouldn't be that, you know what I mean?
Like, it's still like your pelvic bone getting kicked.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He was like, although I guess maybe compared to the pain of having that sensitive appendage removed, maybe, like, that was the cover. He was like, you think that hurts? Come on now. Like, I don't know. I do like that description though, Kevin, that you feel it in your soul.
It disrupts your entire life. Yes, it hurts so bad.
Yeah. I saw somebody throw up once because, like, he just, and it was like a glancing blow too, and he had to, like, excuse himself and vomit because he was, like, so devastated. But we were all just like,
yeah, I've seen people go to the hospital over that shit for, like, torsion and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, but have you ever been punched in the tit? That hurts pretty bad too.
I feel like I don't do the same activities that you do. these are not universal experiences.
What, Sarah?
I really can't say that. No.
Well, even in high school, no one just punched you, you know, or kicked you in nether regions. Like they did in my school all the time.
Like, recreationally? No, that's not. I went to an all-girls school, but... so maybe we were like...
Not just walking down the hall and somebody's like, tit bun.
No. I got hit in the face once with a field hockey stick, but that was more of a misunderstanding than anything else. Yeah, it was pretty high. Yeah, it was high sticking, right? Yeah, I'm still... played field hockey for like a week and a half.
Have you ever been like around your time of the month, though, and like just putting a shirt on hurts? It's something akin to that, I think.
Yeah,
there are a lot of gloves in there.
Just a little random tip punch here and there.
Yeah,
sure, why not?
It sucks.
Spice up your day. Well, anyway, good on Theon
I guess speaking of tit punch, was anyone sad like we didn't get a Yara or like a scene of her somewhere being
tit punched? Probably. Yeah, that was
I was sad we didn't see Yara or Alaria, because I was sure we would see her again.
Really? Oh, I think she's... But oh. Yeah, Yara, I was very surprised that we didn't have a... Like, that maybe he didn't, like, parade her into the meeting, just, like, fuck with Theon? Like, I don't... Because then he goaded her. He goaded him about it, right? Like...
Yeah, that's what I thought he would do. Like, he would show her, like, put her on, like, a chain behind his chair or something.
They had to cut corners to get all three dragons in the episode.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they did. Yeah. And a white.
But Rhaegal does nothing every time he shows up. I call him, like, the screensaver dragon, because he's just in the background doing nothing.
Neither did Viserion either. Before that's he true. Became this villain dragon.
It was kind of a level up for him, wasn't it? To be like the...
I know, he must be loving all this attention.
Right. I'm a magic dragon now, bitches. Y'all just regular dragons. Where did Drogon go?
Fleabottom.
He went to a brothel. He just killed some time.
Get a couple of drinks.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love that with his like his wing elbow on the bar, just like give me another. Like
my brother just died.
I know. All the horrors like trying to figure out how you come onto a dragon. Like
but like it would have been nice if when Danny's flying in, you hear like everyone in King's Landing like screaming for their lives because oh my god, dragons.
Right?
You hear nothing.
Yeah. Although I did really, really like the expression on Jamie's face because he clearly registered the sound way sooner than anybody else because he's the only one, except the ones who aren't scared of dragons, who would know it. And he just has this like, oh, I just pooped a little look on his face. You know what I mean? Because like the last time he saw it, everybody was getting incinerated. And I just like that he was kind of like, what are the like meerkats, you know, when they see a hawk and they all just kind of like.
like he was on his feet immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like
That's
his reaction.
A great point, though, Kevin. Why did you not hear like a million screams?
That would be really
from the city, right?
Yeah.
Because it's dragon wings over King's Landing for the first time in like 300 years. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's they don't have time to look up from their toiling, the peasants.
I thought the one thing or one of the things that I really enjoyed about this episode was the kind of one-liners. And there were some obviously like funny ones, but I thought that there were a series of quotes that almost formed kind of like chapter headings or
coherent thought.
Well, almost like thesis statements kind of where they would sort of sum up like mottos or something for different aspects of the season. But the conversation at the beginning about Cox, I thought was like hilarious because it was not at all clear whether it was D&D kind of like winking at their own like machismo or whether it was meant to be like a deadly serious conversation where Bronn was looking at all the Unsullied. He was like, I don't even know. He's like, it's, you know, it's all about the cocks. He's like, what do you do if you don't have a cock? And Jamie's like, well, you fight for your family. And he's like, well, you need a cock for that. Like, and then his kind of takeaway was, is all about cocks in the end. And I feel like that is such a perfect reduction of like what a lot of this show has become. But whether it was intended ironically or not, I'm still not totally clear. And I love that they gave it to Bronn because it leaves that kind of question mark as to whether he's just being facetious or whether it was intended to be like an articulation of like their actual values. I don't know. I really enjoyed that line because I was like, what are we making fun of? Like, is that a meta commentary on this season or are you fun
I'm not, like, I'm not sure how I feel about them. Like, criticizing themselves like that because it's kind of like them saying, okay, we know we're terrible and we're going to keep being terrible. Like they have to at least get better or it's just not funny.
Sarah, first of all, I just love the way your brain works. You're sitting there analyzing
It's like, what about the cock?
The 10,000 penis joke on this show.
Right.
What? But it is kind of a good point. I would take it more like they're trying to put on a good show for each other, because they're probably both freaked out. They know this chick's coming with dragons, and they did just witness, like, you know, like I said on that episode, I'm like, it had to be akin to like what it was like in Vietnam when there's just napalm lighting up a jungle around you, and you know, you're watching people get vaporized around you. So I imagine there's a certain amount of trauma that they experienced, and they know they're pretty close to being in the same situation again, and there's not really a way out for either of them. So it might have been just a way to kind of add some brevity or hearten themselves a little bit, perhaps. I don't know. Let's go to the after show commentary where Dan and Dave explain it to us. Dan and Dave? I don't know. I found it to be just... this season's a real letdown for me, just all the way around. It was like a bunch of placeholding, I feel like, right? On the one hand, I kind of feel like, God, we didn't need 8 seasons. They could have just wrapped this shit up in a normal 10-episode season.
Yeah, like exactly.
A couple longer episodes. Because what the fuck, you know? It's a bunch of spinning wheels and stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm still holding out the hope, and perhaps naively, that George is very close to releasing both books within the next 18 months. And they're kind of giving him time. I'm holding that hope out.
Like that they're not going to release the next season before he releases the books? Because I would think that it was exactly the opposite. Like, I would think at this point he would have agreed just to let them finish it and stay out of their way. And then,
I mean, who knows? But I kind of don't want... I don't want to see season 8 before we see the books, you know? But now I'm in this stupid position where even if I wanted to, like, shut down my life for a good 4 or 5 months while the show airs and then the fallout kind of dissipates, I couldn't possibly do that because there's too many people that know what a huge fan I am. Mm-hmm. And they'll talk to me about it. Even if I ask them not to, they'll still fucking talk to me about it. So yeah. I can't avoid it anymore. And God bless those that can. But I just can't. And I don't want them to ruin the whole thing.
What? Who's getting invaded by Daleks?
Joke.
What was that?
I'm praying for The Winds of Winter to come out before season 8, please. But then I feel like it's too repetitive to wish that, because we've said the same about season 6 and season 7.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
5.
I really do think he's just gonna entertain himself elsewhere until they're done, and then he'll say, like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, did you want the books? Well, I thought you were so busy watching the show, because I feel like he has this, like, and part of it is what he said about Duncan Egg, where he didn't want one of the spinoff series to be that because he didn't want another show to preempt his creative process, that I feel like he's kind of just, you know, keeping his distance until the franchise is his again, maybe, like, is
I don't know.
Sort of the impression
that makes me mad, though, because if he had bothered to, like, think hard about it going in, it's like, duh, dude, it's a show. They're gonna
probably faster.
One season
it would
every
get
year
this far. Because if you think, going back to earlier interviews about the show, they always hoped to get as far as the Red Wedding. So they never thought it would be this big that they would be able to finish the series. So I always, and going back to when
I know, but
this
so
podcast,
what the fuck? It's like fight for more control.
Yeah.
I had no idea they were only hoping to get that far. Although it makes sense because the closest sort of HBO precedent that I can think of before Game of Thrones became Game of Thrones is Rome. And it was just so expensive. And it was such an exquisite show. And it was so wonderful. But it just didn't, like, it just couldn't carry itself, right? Like, it kind of sank under its own, you know, its own grandiosity or whatever. But I could easily see that having happened with Game of Thrones, right? Where, like, it was just too, you know, like, too beautiful to exist, kind of. Like
back when I started this podcast, I thought at the time,
but here's the thing, is like, on season four. He saw what a good job they did with the first three seasons. I mean, it's pretty damn close. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he should know that they can adapt it well, given the material to do so. So that gives you, basically, by the end of season two, you should have known. And you had a couple of years solidly.
Mm-hmm. But could he have known that they wouldn't, like, that the disparity between having the material and not having the material would be so bad? Like, could he have anticipated that fairly, do you think?
I think he did, and that's why he didn't want it to be adapted into a show. But he selected these people for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere along the line regretted it. And it's like, well, that's all on you, dude, first of all. Mm-hmm. And second of all, why don't you just go to them and level with them? Like, I need more time. There are precedents. Like, didn't The Sopranos take a 2-year hiatus at one point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just as successful and popular when it came back. Everyone waited. Fans can do that nowadays. That's the times we live in. They'll hang on with you. Maybe not happily, but they will. So, like, what are you worried about? Just do it.
He should have just never sold the books till he was done. That would have been the best option.
I don't think he regrets it, because back then, I remember looking at his sales on Wikipedia. Maybe not Wikipedia, something a bit more official than Wikipedia. And it was like 7 million. And to date now, after the show, it's like 55 million that he sold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sure he's worth a loot of money.
Yes. Plus, what does everyone think about the rumors that he's going to do a show, a prequel story, or a prequel story between season 7 and season 8?
What?
That he is?
There's plans to do some sort of spin-off show between the gap. So, because there's going to be a gap of 2 years between Game of Thrones, there's going to be some spin-off show next year.
Yeah, I know they have 4 different ones in like early development right now, but I didn't realize that they were intending to release them or one of them.
I've seen a few
between seasons. That's fascinating.
To break up that gap, there will be one of them next year.
Oh, wow. Whether
that happens or not, who knows?
That seems very, but like, they would have to be shooting right now.
One show was a companion to the actual series where they just go into Westerosi history or the history of A Song of Ice and Fire.
That's cool.
But I'm not sure what the other ones are.
Jogos Nai. I want to see that.
I would love to see something set in a Shai. Like, even if it's just made up, like, I think Shai as a setting would be so cool.
Yeah, like
everyone has
what they did
radiation sickness, and yeah, exactly.
I'd like to see.
I would like to see something that's like
stories,
oh.
Sort of like for a kids show, but
like medieval Goosebumps.
Can watch it too.
I'd like to see a show that's set in old Valyria, like right before the Doom.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Isn't
I'd also
though?
Like to see... What was that, Jacques?
Isn't that Rome?
About Rome?
Rome? Oh, yeah. Like Pompeii.
Yeah.
I would also like to see Lomas Longstrider. I think that would be a cool one. Because then you get it all a little bit, right?
Yeah, you just see all the exotic places and stuff. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like Marco Polo. On Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only better.
I'm not canceled, hopefully.
Um, in terms of the standout quotes to me, I thought two of them were about the dragons, and I liked the one where they were talking about the dragon pit. And I think it was Tyrion said that dragons have trouble telling what's theirs and what isn't. And he limits it to lands, livestock, and children. But I thought that was like a little bit of a cheeky thing to say to the dragon queen who's coming in to like claim what's hers. Like, I just thought it was an interesting potential reflection on the dragon as sigil, as just they're a little bit grabby, those dragons. Like, they don't really have any concept of like what's actually theirs and what isn't. And then I also really liked when they were looking at the little mouse dragon jaw, like that John found. And Danny said that Targaryens without dragons are just like everyone else. And I liked that she said it to John in particular, because like he is a Targaryen without dragons. And he is kind of just, you know, I like those two kind of reflections on the dragons as a symbol, like whether they're a good thing or a bad thing to have around, and like what benefits and risks they carry with them.
Can everyone else walk into fire and survive? Because that seems like a Targaryen thing or a Dany thing.
I think it's a Dany thing. And I think she wasn't even supposed to be able to do it the second time. Like, according to George, I think she was only like the pyre was some kind of a miracle that shouldn't have been.
It's a sure replicable thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the books, it's just a one-time thing when the three dragons are hatched. But in the TV show, it's all the time.
Yeah, well, I think they said that she forgot she was fireproof on the after show. She just forgot.
Oh my god. One of her names is the Unburnt. Like, it's not toast. It's a, you know.
I believe there was a scene in season one as well with Jon and the White, and there was a brief glimpse of him catching fire. But
he burns his hand, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Right.
Hmm.
Well, you can talk a lot about things they've forgotten, they've written in the past, or taken from George.
Yeah.
For example, the Wicks not being able, Whites not being able to swim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the White being able to, or they can kill Whites with dragon glass, which dragon is glass in the book. That bothered me.
Yeah.
I did really like Euron in those scenes. I thought the baiting of Tyrion was a little bit too much, but I really liked first his look at Daenerys when she lands. Like, she's just the hottest thing he's ever seen, and she's on a dragon. You know what I mean? Like, he just, his jaw was just like, like, she's amazing. And it was very similar to the way that Qyburn looked at the White Hand, which I thought was hilarious. Like, it's just that same level of, oh my god, that's amazing.
He should have sent his brother to like Slaver's Bay to try to get her and marry her and bring him back, or bring her back to him. That'd have been a good idea.
Yeah, that would have been a really, really interesting thing. He doesn't have a brother though, so you know.
Book reader sarcasm.
I know.
No, here's Balin.
Hmm?
Here's Balin. So all he has to do is find the corpse, tie it to the front of a ship.
Right. I think it says romance, like a corpse tied to the front of your ship.
And a pregnant woman. Gosh.
Ugh, yeah.
Well, when do we think Daenerys will be pregnant?
Like, yesterday?
I hope after she gets married.
So it's then he'll have to annul his. Then she'll just legitimize like Aegon. That went really well, right? No problem. No problems from that.
Nope.
Did any of you guys notice how when the White Walkers started moving through the wall, it looked like the Stark direwolf, like a picture of them from above?
We've just had this conversation.
Yeah, I posted it to the thread, but yeah, it was I see it, but I don't know that I want to. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I can kind of see it, but I don't know what it's supposed to mean.
Yeah.
Well, it supports my theory that it's just the others making cool shapes.
they're like a drum line. Like, they've learned how to coordinate and, like, spell words and, like, that'd be awesome.
I hope it's not like a hint that Bran is the Night King, because that's a sigil.
I feel like there must be, and I don't believe that the show will get into this at all, but I think in the books, like, there must be some greater significance to, well, first of all, Old Nan said that the Night King, or she said that some people said that the Night King was a Stark, but that whole Stark and Winterfell thing, I feel like has to have some magical significance beyond just it's their ancestral home and that's who should be there. Like, there seems to be a kind of a prohibitive commandment to it that makes it seem much more significant in terms of, and in fact, like, we don't really see, I mean, obviously, you know, the very first prologue we see the White Walkers, but, like, it's not, you know, they don't really start surfacing as a huge threat, I think, until the Starks lose Winterfell, right? And, like, I just feel like there must be something to that.
I don't know, because if you look at it really closely too, you can almost see, like, the Lannister lion under the jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, possibly a couple of nods to other things. So it might have just been, like, some cutesy fucking thing they put in there. I'm like, oh, we're so clever. They'll never get it.
It's the maester doodling. The maester whose board game this all is. He's like, he's taking up pointillism. Or cross-stitching.
Do you think if they go back to Dragonstone and look in those caves again, like right next to the White Walkers drawing,
yeah, there's a dragon.
More like, Sam was here.
Oh,
it's like, somebody... so was Gendry.
Oh, my
sorry,
God.
I missed you.
That's so funny. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, does anyone love how I, like, since Jerome Flint and Lena Headley couldn't shoot together, his excuse for leaving the scene before she came in was to take Pod to a brothel and learn how he pleasured all the whores.
I don't understand that story. Like, I don't know. There's something about it that really, because it either makes her seem incredibly unprofessional, which seems very strange that kind of behavior. I don't know. It just seems like there's got to be more to it than, like, she put it in her contract that she can't be with her ex. Like, it's, I don't know. I find it frustrating on some level that's such a, like.
Oh, I agree too. And then the other thing that kind of struck me as weird about it when I first was made aware of it, it sounded like they were actually not quite like that until after they were both on the show. Like, it was some new deal that happened, and they didn't start adding that in their contracts until, like, after season two or something. I could be wrong, but same. When I first had become aware of it, that's how it seemed to me, that it was more of a recent hate that had formed.
I don't know, it just seems like there are plenty of actors, or there must be, who, you know, work with people that they don't get along with, I mean, necessarily. Like,
to be fair, we don't know a lot about it other than, like, they used to date and now they don't want to work together.
Yeah.
So I think that does show some amount of professionalism. Like, they're not out there shit talking each other and making comments. Like, they are just not saying anything. So
I just feel like a lot of the recording that I've seen of it makes it sound like it's 100% her, which I don't know. I'm just like a little bit skeptical that, like, it's, you know, she can't stand to be around him. I'm like, I don't know. It just seems like
she would be the only one with the star power to make that kind of demand, though, right? Because I don't think he could.
That's interesting. Yeah, that is a very good point, actually. So maybe it's actually empowering. Maybe maybe it's like she's. Can you guys say, sort of speaking of the sigils in the patterning, like, why is it that her crown is some kind of tree, it looks like, and then that's also the insignia that's on the queen's guard? Did you guys notice that? Like, I hadn't noticed it until this episode, but it seems really weird that, like, she just made up her own thing, because it's definitely not a lion. It's not the Iron Throne or like a sword crown like Rob had. It does look very, like, arboreal, which I just didn't. I don't know.
Is it not Joffrey's crown?
Is it?
Or his dad's crown?
Oh, with the, yeah, you're right, with the stag horns, right? So it's not, no, yeah, it's so not, it's not a stag. Oh, yeah.
It's not gold either.
It looks like the back of the Iron Throne, kind of.
I thought so too.
But then it also seems a little more modest than you would think she'd want, like, a fucking huge crown.
I would totally, yeah, like, with the, you know, the world's biggest diamond or whatever. But, like, yeah, and it didn't strike me as much on the crown as it did when I saw it on Gregor's breastplate. Like, it just seemed very, very strange and very specific in a way that, like, it almost looks like a weirwood tree, which, like, why the hell would she have? But, you know, maybe Bran is spying on her through the. I don't know. It was just a weird thing that I noticed in this one.
Now, isn't it just, although it's not the crown, isn't her Queen's Guard just modeled after the mountain stuff? Because you can't see their face. Faces like the mountain.
Oh, like, so that, what do you mean, like, they're just trying to make it unique to her, or that he has his own sigil? I don't know, it just struck me as, like, a really weird choice, especially because she's, like, all about family and stuff, that it's like,
I wish she wore more red and gold this season.
Yeah. Why is her guard in black? The fuck?
She's mourning. Dark Cersei. Oh, that's very interesting.
I know, but not all of them. Why would they all be? And literally, Cersei, how does she never stop Jaime and go, you're wearing black and red. You can't do that. That's our enemy's fucking colors.
That's a very solid point. Yeah.
And there's no gold, like, inlays on anything. That part I don't get. It's like, you're also wearing Stark and Baratheon colors, too. It's just fucking weird.
And the costume designer, she's really good at, like, telling stories through the clothes. I don't get why she didn't get everybody in there. Like, this is, like, the final two seasons, so put everybody in their family best, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they did, like, somebody, I think maybe it was on the Kraken cast, they pointed out that the costuming for Tyrion and Cersei was very, very similar, like, texturally and obviously in terms of color. But I did think that was really interesting that they seem to have gone to the same, you know, badassery boutique before they met at King's Landing and ended up, like, basically wearing the same outfit, which is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Also, did you know Did you notice that Jaime had a similar kind of outfit to the Night's Watch when he rolled off?
Oh, that's very interesting.
Stopped by IKEA near the
He did. He rolled by the IKEA fashion department, geared up.
Excuse me, do you have any rugs in stock?
I mean, we're bouncing all over the place, but I'm just thinking again about that scene with Sam and Bran where he's like, big reveal, his name's not Snow, it's Sand. And first of all, doesn't the bastard name come from wherever the mother is from? So
I thought it was where the child was born.
Oh, where it was, okay, I thought it was like where the mother, which I guess is often like the same place, but
Well, we didn't then Edric Storm be Edric Flowers.
Right.
Towards the mother.
That's true.
Because I thought it was where the parent, like, where the father or where the parents, like, are, they lay claim to. So, like, since Lyanna, not Ned, was from the north, he would be Snow.
Yeah,
I thought it would be more like the father, so if it was going to be anything, it should be Waters then. For the crown line.
Yeah, but then again, what about Lovett's other bastards like Maya Stone?
Well, because she was born in the Eyrie. So her mother, that's what I'm saying, like her mother. True.
And Robert never claimed her, yeah. So.
But then Lovett's other, well, he didn't claim her.
I just feel like they tried to like use book knowledge to make the scene to like enriching it, and they just you get an A for effort, I guess.
You're right. That's the thing that they say in the book. Not exactly in that context, but yeah.
I just don't get why Bran didn't like look through the entire Tower of Joy history from when she was kidnapped to her to the birth of John.
You would think, right? Like, yeah. Click around a little bit, you know?
Because they didn't have enough of a budget to show the tourney during the fall spring.
Oh, that would be such an amazing. When I heard that Rhaegar had been cast, I held this very outside hope that the super long finale episode would be 100% flashback to Harrenhal and the Tower of Joy, like that it would just be like the ultimate troll, and it would just be essentially like a mini movie of that like flashback, and that we wouldn't see any of the present day at all. So awesome.
Well, we might still get a Robert's Rebellion TV after this.
But who will win?
No mystery. Idea.
Does
anyone think that they brought in Harry Lloyd to play Rhaegar?
Yeah. They just like couldn't be bothered to find another guy that wig fit. So they just like...
It's the same wig from season one.
So gross. It was so incredibly disappointing, you guys. Like,
I thought it was Harry Lloyd at first, which I thought would have been cooler. Because I love him.
I knew it wasn't him, but I knew what they were going for. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Rhaegar doesn't look like this.
Yeah. Danny definitely got the... # blessed end of that genetic stick as far as the casting goes. Like I don't know, she's got this like ethereal beauty, and they're just like, you know, derpy little I was so mad. I was like, really? Like, it's just
they're
nice,
not ugly.
Fun. Yeah,
but they're not just, like they're... Valyrian beautiful, you know.
Yeah, she has this like this almost like elfin kind of aura to her, and they just like swung and missed with both of her brothers at this point. And I feel like Harry Lloyd was always supposed to be like not the one you were rooting for, so he needed to be a little bit less striking than she was. But I feel like Rhaegar, like the whole point of him is the mystique and the
So according to the wiki of Ice and Fire, it says that there's no like law about bastard names. Some are decreed by customs. Parents can choose to give their bastard a different surname if they wish, as in Tyrion Tanner, or no name at all. Bastard children of small folk don't have surnames, and bastards can choose their own name, i.e. Daemon Waters choosing Blackfyre. And it's often where they are raised, like Maya Stone and Edric Storm. However, Aegor Rivers was raised at Stonehenge in the Riverlands. His half-brother, Brynden Rivers, never really... I mean, he was raised in King's Landing in the Crownlands.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
So, nobody knows. That's what, that's what so we
they
learned.
Didn't even bother to read the wiki to figure out what to name John.
Oh, jeez. So he, yeah, so it really would have been, like, by any of those standards, it shouldn't have been sand, is what we just learned, pretty much. Right, like, because either Ned would have chosen to call him Snow, which he did, or it should have been Snow because he was raised there, or it could have been... something from, well, Snow, it would have been Snow from Lyanna anyway, and then like maybe it could have been Waters, but he was never, yeah, that's so dumb. That's really dumb. Oh my god, you guys.
This fucking show.
I did really like Cersei's let the monsters kill each other line. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Especially because it kind of harkened back to Tyrion's like warning to Joffrey, right? Like, if you think I'm a monster, maybe you should be more afraid of me or something. You know what I mean? Like, where she's almost taking herself out of that monster category, whereas... It's interesting.
It's kind of like almost hypocritical, like when she calls Dany a would-be usurper.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how dare you, of all people.
Right. Yeah. She's like, but my claim is through my illegitimate bastard son of the king who was subsequently overthrown. Like, that's who was totally legit, himself? Right? Yeah, who was it? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and she's going by Cersei Lannister, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is that, too? Like,
that always confused me.
Yeah.
And the book, like, too.
She annulled her own marriage to Robert.
But she's always known as Lannister. I've never seen her... I've never read or heard of her referred to as Baratheon.
Mm-hmm.
Someone explained it to me on the forums before. Because it's the royal family, you can't marry into that last name. So Catelyn can become a Stark, but Elia can become a Targaryen.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
That's very interesting. So maybe that's why all the incest, maybe they're just like saving on monograms.
What about Lysa Arryn, or is that because it's not that high of a royalty?
He's just a high lord. He's not a
king.
He's not a king.
Right.
Oh, okay, so then Joffrey would be Joffrey Baratheon because he was born to
he's
the
heir to the right.
Oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. I wonder if that's like, is that true of like actual royalty, like modern royalty?
I think that's what they said. when I read it on Westeros.org, but I'm not entirely sure.
So like Catherine Middleton is not, she's the Duchess of Cambridge, but she's not now Catherine Windsor.
Right. Well, like Catherine of Aragon wasn't a Tudor, you know what I mean?
There you go.
And like, what is his name? Philip. It's Mountbatten. It's not Windsor.
Oh. Wow. Look at you dropping that knowledge, Kevin. Well done.
Well, and there was a big thing where like he wanted Queen Elizabeth to take the name Mountbatten, but she was gonna, but like I guess was talked out of it by her cabinet. They're like, you can't fucking do that.
Well, because she's
exactly.
I remember that from The Crown, not from like actual history, just watching that show. That was a good show.
I think there's some validity to it. And then I think it's different too, like if you, or maybe not, like if you give the crown matrimonial, it's like if you're the ruling monarch and then you marry, you can have it be where your spouse would inherit if you died, as opposed to children.
Oh, that's very interesting.
But I don't know how much of a precedent there is for doing that, because wouldn't that put like a big fucking red X on you?
I would think so. Yeah. I don't think, I imagine that it was very rare simply because they wouldn't generally have a female inherit, and the one marrying into would almost always have been female, right? So like that it would have been very unlikely for the king to say, if I die, this passes on to my queen consort, because of the primogeniture, like the male primogeniture, right? So like, and then for the queen to say it, there just weren't that many queens in their own right.
For it to
be any kind of, do you know what I mean? Like for her to be the queen first, like it was just so uncommon.
It says here it also grants them the right to co-rule equally, rather than being the consort.
Okay.
Co-sovereigns in life as well as death. Apparently King Francis II of France wanted it from Mary Queen of Scots.
Oh. From or for?
From her, for Scotland.
Oh, screw that guy.
So that he would be the King of France and the King of Scotland equally.
Got it.
Oh, okay.
Had that gone down, though, she would have requested it from him for France, and things might have been slightly better for her.
You probably would have killed him.
You think so?
Well, she killed the others.
Mary Queen of Scots?
Oh, you mean Lord Darnley?
Yeah.
The guy that blew
him up.
Yeah. Well, she was the first Cersei Lannister.
She was the first Cersei Lannister.
Yeah, well, but she suffered
porphyria, you guys. She was in a lot of pain, and he was a nuisance.
More power to
excellent reasons for murder. Yeah, exactly. That reminds me of the line that Sansa said to Arya, where she's like, they have this kind of detente at the end of the thing, and then she says like, you're still very strange and annoying. Just like such a perfect sibling thing to say.
Those are my feelings exactly, though.
Yeah. She's like, you still have a bag of faces, you lunatic bitch.
I know this is only a book thing, but I kind of wish that Sansa would be initiated into the more supernatural side of things. And Bran can tell her, like, you know, you have skin-changing warg abilities, too. Let me show you. Come on.
Your dead wolf.
Oh, no. Not it's a lady.
She's like, yep, she doesn't really do much. doesn't get around like she used to. Poor lady.
Well, maybe the Night's King can help her out. I don't know.
Sansa Stark marries the Night's King. Confirmed. I will say my only other sort of memorable note from like when I was actually watching the show is that Jon is a sack of poo. That is a direct quotation from my notepad. I think it was when he just refused to be vaguely diplomatic and when he was just like, thanks, but no, like, I'm definitely not going to even pretend like I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. Which, like, how hard would it have been for him to say, I'm sworn to Dany, if she says I can sit it out, I will, but it's not my decision to make or something. But he was like, no, I'm totally going to fight for her because I said that I would. Like, he didn't even cushion it at all or qualify it. He just was just like, no, I'm good. I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, he's very obtuse.
Yeah. I love that even Davos was like, I really wish you hadn't done that.
It's like when the Starks go south, they just lose all their wits.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hot.
It also doesn't make
sense. It's too hot.
I do have trouble thinking.
Doesn't make any sense with his reasoning, because he said like I have to follow Ned's path and not lie, but Ned was perfectly fine with lying.
Exactly.
It was dishonor that was his problem.
Mm-hmm. But also, he got the crap killed out of him, so you know.
Maybe not follow in his footsteps?
Yeah, like, maybe try a different strategy. Like, maybe modulate it slightly. It's kind of a... Yeah, I don't know. I found that
by becoming catchy. Even more.
Yeah, even more, like, stick in the mud. Like,
I did love when Daenerys said that my dragon died for this. So it's all been for nothing, and that's what we've been seeing for a long time, that this whole storyline is all for nothing.
Yeah.
True story.
Oh, do you guys have theories about lurking Tyrion? Like, what was your read on that?
Oh my god.
Hallway lurking.
I was just thinking it was like a ruler shouldn't get involved with someone that's, you know, supposed to be their follower or their...
Or undead.
Yeah.
Or all of the above. Yeah, he just stood there for, like, a really long time and didn't... I don't know. I think it added to, like, not even discomfort, but, like, my abject confusion over like what we were really supposed to take away from that whole reveal, because it was like it was a three-way cut, wasn't it? Where it was like on one hand, like they're related, on the other hand, but and then also this creepy lurker. So you're like, what? Like, I'm already kind of uncomfortable with the incest. Clearly we're supposed to also think it's sexy, like but then there's this guy doing something, you know, like, I don't know. It was too much all like interlaced and in ways that like the read was not clear to me at all.
And I'm what were they trying to say, that like she's in there being so loud that he knows for sure they're having sex?
Right. Or like he was on his way to knock on her door and he just like saw John get there first and now he's struggling with his, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
God.
Like a Three's Company kind of situation. Like I don't know. Like there was no.
I think it just ties in with what Varys said to him, that he needs to get her to listen to him. But she's clearly not listening to him. And probably next season he'll say something about not getting involved with John, which she'll ignore. So I think it's leading to that.
Okay. See, that's,
it'll probably be like, oh, you shouldn't get involved with John. And then she'll be like, I'm not. What are you talking about? And then he'll be like, oh, she's lying to me. Conflict.
Yeah.
More conflict.
And Jorah's just sitting there like, you slept with John?
Oh, well, I did kind of give him my blessing when he tried to give me long claw back, and I was like, sheath it for me, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But was it jealousy, maybe? Like, he wanted to be in the room?
Like, she said he was too little for her.
It's like,
I did have John, a chance.
Why would she say that?
Let me know if you need any help in there. I am the queen's hand.
Oh, ew.
I can step in. I kind of took it as a nod to the books and the theory that Tyrion's a Targaryen, because the audio of Bran right over the top of him is saying he was never a bastard. His name's Targaryen. He's the heir to the Iron Throne, and it's on Tyrion at that point. It's not on them.
But Tyrion wouldn't be the heir, would he?
Well, no, he wouldn't be the heir, but I don't know. That's probably me reading into it, because I really like that theory.
Maybe Bran was just talking really loud and he could hear it. And he was like, they're related.
The books, like, put that together. I think it was just random editing.
But then again, at the end, it cuts to like the flag and it's the three-headed dragon, and all three heads will be on that ship.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they zoom in on the door too. Like, when John goes in, the door closes, there's the three-headed dragon on the door.
Talk about a third wheel, though, right? Like, they only have two dragons now. They have a three-headed dragon with two dragons. Like, is he just gonna, you know, have a little sidecar, like the two fat ladies?
Hagrid's
car. Because I said he's dead, he'll be able to, like, tame Ice Viserion anyway.
Right in a basket underneath Drogon's belly.
I'll take the caboose.
Right? He's just hanging onto the tail for dear life. Maybe undead John gets an undead dragon. That'd be kind of cool.
Also, where the fuck did they get this ship? Like, were they in the Marine and she's like, no, we can't sail until you outfit this ship with ass loads of symbols?
Didn't we see them repainting all the sails? Or is that just in the book? No, it couldn't have been in the book, right? Because they don't leave yet. But like, there was a makeover montage for like the fleet where they painted over all the Krakens and they painted them like the sails with dragons. Right. Am I just making that up?
Did they?
I don't think so. When they sail at the end of season 6, there's like Tyrell and Greyjoy and yada yada.
I just remember the fleet having a bunch of different sigils.
I think Sarah, there is something in the book you're thinking of, I wanna say.
Oh, is that okay?
It's being well, but that doesn't sound like the show.
I know she took Grolio's ships and renamed them and then destroyed them and then he died. But I don't know about...
Yeah, I feel like I just found... Hold on, let me see.
So sorry for that guy.
Grolio. He's like, look, I brought... Oh, no.
I just want to go home. Oh, I'm dead.
Aw. Him and Quentin both.
Oh, that's one character I don't miss.
Yeah, meaning
Quentin. I don't get his character. Like, what was the point of that?
Because we need more chapters to know that war is a bad thing, and oh my god, the small folk.
Also, Dragonfire is hot, and it will melt your face.
No way.
Yeah, right. It says, let's see, I don't even know what they're talking about.
Or Quentin's a Targaryen.
Oh,
yeah, kind of. Man, literally.
He's one of the, he's one of the flammable ones. Okay, so it looks like this was from last
advertisement for Kevlar. by DuPont.
It's from last season. At one point, she's told that the sails are being painted. I assume she had the sails of the ship she took from the Masters painted with the three-headed dragon and made the Targ fleet. The ships with the Kraken are obviously the 100 ships that came from Yara. Yeah, so like they mentioned at some point that like they were repainting the sails in preparation for her to leave Marine. But okay, good. I'm glad I didn't just totally make that up. Just mostly.
Okay, what was the up with like almost Clegane Bowl and then nope?
The line that he says to the mountain was so weird. Ooh. And I feel like it forecloses Clegane Bowl. Like it forestalls Clegane. Because he says, I wrote it down because it was so weird. He says, like, oh, brother, oh, this is not how it ends, brother. You know who's coming for you. You've always known. And I think it was like a 50-50 split where some people were like, well, he means him. He means that he's coming for him. And I'm like, then why wouldn't he just said, like, this isn't how it ends, but you know I'm coming for you. You've always known. But he made it the way that he said it, made it sound like it was something else completely. And like, yeah, I don't know. So I thought that was very interesting, but also like very...
Well, you know that the Hound slips in and out of third person all the time.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Like, who is he talking to, though? Because did he expect a response from a zombie?
I mean, I thought it was partly like... similar, maybe comparable to Genked in the Balls, right? Where like he was literally facing his greatest weakness, or like owning up to, you know, like walk up to his like greatest fear, and now in this like extra monstrous form, just being like, yeah, what? You know, like, you don't know.
Clegane Bowl didn't happen though. It seems kind of on the nose.
Did it, maybe Sandor didn't hear that Oberyn died? Does he not know that he got his head smashed in? He's like, you know who's coming for you. It's
the Viper guy.
Yeah, and the mountain's just like hollow rumble inside the armor.
has that happened yet? You're like, that's funny.
Oh wait, what?
No, as soon as he says brother, the guy takes off his helmet and goes, I'm not your brother, I'm Robert Strong.
Like, oh, my apologies, sir. Know, you look very similar. Yeah. As you were.
I mistook you for another monstrous giant.
Oh my god. Yeah, he takes off his helmet and he's like, this is not the zombie you're looking for. Be on about your business. Yeah, I don't know. That whole thing was like, why? Why are you doing any of this at this point?
I did really like when he kicked the box, though. That made me happy.
Where do you get that from? Sure
that it was not going to be white anymore. I thought it was just going to be like a corpse.
Yeah, like they dump it over and they're like, yeah, and...
It was like nothing's happening.
I would have died amazing. Laughing.
Oh my god.
Cersei's just like, a corpse? That's a weird gift.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, we have those too. Thanks.
This isn't what I registered for you guys.
Like, it's called a wish list. Get on it.
Like, what's well, not the counts, bitch?
I did like that too, that the weight went straight for Cersei. Like, I know it was a, you know, he just came out of the box and ran, but they aimed it really well.
Like, I just
had a really busy day. Really
much is one thing I did like. She doesn't seem the type of person to care enough to get flabbergasted. So, I mean, she kind of, like, sat back, but she wasn't losing her mind or, you know what I mean?
She had a lot thrown at her at once. Like, she sees dragons for the first time. She sees zombies. Well, I guess she's used to zombies by now.
She's so cold that she is able to keep her cool. Yeah. Which rings really true of her to me.
I did see at least a touch of, like, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit, though, which I thought was really well acted in terms of, like, the subtlety of it. Where she, right, like, she didn't go into screaming hysterics, but, like,
I thought you were saying you threw up in your mouth a little bit while you were talking.
No.
Does anyone think that she'll have this shield? Because I don't.
No.
No.
Something will happen.
I don't think it really exists. I'm still on past not that point. Real.
It must exist, otherwise we would have found out about it this season.
That, like, if she had been faking it, we would have found out already.
I don't know. It's just...
She didn't drink the wine, though, so, you know, I admired her for that a little bit. Because that was something that I thought immediately when she was pregnant. I'm like, oh, yeah, really? That's a nice carafe of wine you have directly next to your desk. But then when Tyrion poured it for her, she didn't drink it, which was...
Yeah, but I think that was all, like, and especially because in the handhold afterward, Dan and Dave say, like, oh, she's purposely trying to give these subtle hints and hoping he'll pick up on them. And I'm like, it's not that subtle when you put your hand on the top of your abdomen like that. That's like the universal prego symbol. Yeah. It's like choking. Everyone knows it. Exactly. For fuck's sake.
Tyrion with his, like, razor sharp powers of deduction, like, you know, you're talking about the future and putting your hand on your stomach, like,
she doesn't have indigestion.
I mean, though, I probably would have if the white had come at me like that. I'd be like, I don't feel so good.
She's like, have you ever seen Friends and, like, when Rachel's pregnant, spoiler alert, Phoebe's taking the blame for it, like, so that no one finds out. Mm-hmm. So you could only be, like, 5 minutes pregnant at this point, and she's, like, trying to put on this show for Joey, and she does that whole, like, sit down really slowly with your hand on your stomach like you do in full term. That's, like, basically what Cersei's doing here. and he picked up on it. Like,
I know. Subtle. Yeah.
A blind deaf, like Helen Keller picked up on it.
That's ASL for I'm knocked up.
Jesus. Yeah, that whole thing was just so weird. I don't like it.
I feel like she's definitely gonna have a miscarriage. And I think probably the only question is, like, whose fault is it? Because whoever's fault it is she's definitely coming for him. You know what I mean?
Maybe it'll rip through her like an alien baby, and that's the nod with let the monsters fight each other.
Maybe it's not Jamie's.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's Euron's. Maybe it's the mountains.
Maybe it's Qyburn's. Yeah.
That's worse than the mountains.
Like, from across the room.
He's gross. He's super gross. I like him a lot better in the book for some reason.
Qyburn.
Well, yeah, I mean, that could be said about anybody, though.
He seems much more, like, apologetically Dr. Frankenstein-y in the book, where he's just kind of, he just wants to go about his business. But his business happens to be, like, heinous human experimentation. Like, he's just very, like, oh, it can't be helped. It's a business. Tut, tut. You know, but it's, like, I don't know. There's something about him that I find hilarious.
It is true. It's kind of true to history, though, because, I mean, didn't doctors get access to like people that were going to be hanged to do like surgical experiments on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like usually after. Hanged anyway.
Usually afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. No, they would do like vivisections too, I guess, but.
Good money could be made finding corpses for people.
Oh, no, it's a living. I'm not thinking of medieval doctors. I'm thinking of Nazi doctors. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
Not a ringing endorsement.
No.
No. Sorry.
One other question is, what is Wyvern planning on doing with that hand?
He gave it back, didn't he? Didn't he give it back to John? Did he keep it
for anything now, though?
I think John set it on fire afterwards, so he did give it back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like how he still doesn't know that it's the Valyrian steel? Like, were you not at heart home, bro? Or did you, like, forget that after you died?
That Valyrian steel kills the...
Yeah, did he just think that was, like, an accident? Like, oh, shit, he exploded.
No, because he did it again in the, like, when they lured him with the campfire, right?
Oh, he forgot to say, yeah, they didn't include that part.
Because it doesn't kill the...
I haven't heard any of them talk about it.
It kills the White Walkers, which they didn't have.
Or maybe he just thinks he's really good.
Yeah. Such a well-placed blow shattered that guy.
Oh my god. Yeah, majorly malfunctioning ice maker. Just goes everywhere.
Oh, speaking of malfunctions, do you think it was just like an accident on the art department? Or that's how it's going to be? Because... when Homeboy flies Viserion next to Walt, that seemed like super speed. Like when he gave him meth before he flew him over there. And I'm just wondering, like, how bad of a problem will that be?
Yeah, he did. It did seem a lot more impressive than.
I'm going to just guess that they're going to be inconsistent with it. Like, he was fast because they wanted, like, a shock of him going around that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And from now on, he's going to be, like, dragon slow. I don't know.
Because, I mean, it makes a little bit of sense because the whites seem to be fairly fast.
Oh, that is, yes, right.
The humans.
Mm.
But Viserion's more of like a White Walker, right? Like,
that's what I think. That's my, yeah, like that's my theory, is that he's not, I mean, not exclusively my theory, but that's, that he's one of the sort of boss level ones and not just a foot soldier one.
It just doesn't make any sense.
I thought you couldn't be a White Walker unless they took you as a baby and put their fingernail between your eyes.
Well, that's kind of what he did. I thought maybe like the touching, like the actual physical touch was what created the light blue eyes and the very kind of like.
Can he be a White Walker and not be human?
Like, I don't, what are the rules? What are the rules?
Yeah, I don't think he can be a White Walker. I think he's just a white and he's like a ice polar bear or.
I know, but like, why did he have to be touched? Are they trying to say all of a sudden that every single person has to be like gone around to and touched? Because at Hardhome, he just lifted his hand up and an ass load of people got up from the dead.
Yeah, I think, like there was some speculation that like the very, very blue eyes are White Walkers, and then like he has those eyes instead of like cloudy, sort of cloudy, like almost like cataract blue eyes. He has the very
like
vibrant
crystalline blue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Well, because he also seems to be more animated than, like, the mounts that they ride just seem to be kind of like... I mean, some of them are very skeletal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe that's has to do with, like, the sentience of the being in life more. That dragons have a lot more sentience than a horse or a bear or shadow cat.
That's a good point.
Horses everywhere. Like, ugh, I'm not listening to Vok anymore.
Insulted. You know, I'm sure we're thinking about it way more than the people that work on the show do.
Yep.
An example of that is when Littlefinger was being told of his claims, he was able to explain or the food, everyone except the whole Sansa Ramsay thing.
Yeah.
So that proves that they didn't even come up with a logic for it.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they're totally phoning it in at this point. It's kind of like, whatever. The last couple seasons have been so Star Wars episode 1, 2, 3.
How dare you?
This was more than 3.
Yeah.
I always find it amazing when I read reviews online and people are always saying that these seasons are better than the earlier seasons. Quite a few friends I've seen on Facebook have written, you know, season 1 and 2, just, you know, drudge through that and you'll get to the good stuff. And it's like, those are my favourite seasons, season 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Are these book readers saying that though? Because I feel like people that have never read the books love it. They're like, oh my god, did you see Game of Thrones? And I'm like, yeah. What about it?
I think they're tuning in for two different things. Like, they want to see all the sword fighting and the action bits.
Mm-hmm.
And we like all the politicking going on. Which isn't a bad thing, I guess.
And also, no. Like, the coherent narrative and the character justifications, and I just like, I mean, I went on a big thing about this last time, so I won't do it again, but I think it's possible to have both, and I feel like they did have both, and then they got so much more invested in the spectacle and moved away from the characterization, and the spectacle is still spectacular, but it's just not the same as it was. I don't know.
I think Katie said it really well on the bonus Dragon Cast episode that they did, like, immediately after the finale. And she was saying they're just kind of... They have moved away from developing characters and having the characters work based on real motivations. And now they're just having characters do things to serve, like, visual endings and things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she articulated it better than that, but it was very true. It's just not good. I have no words.
I guess on the flip side, it's one thing in the books that kind of bothers me that Martin kind of sets up these big moments and he doesn't really pay them off. Like, the fifth book is A Dance with Dragons, but there's really no dragons dancing, you know. Mm-hmm. So the show had a good mix of, like, pure action-packed stuff with the deep, I guess, the boring stuff. Mm-hmm. So I wish Martin would do more action stuff going forward.